and welcome to South Asia Chat, a podcast series brought to you by the Institute of South Asian Studies at the National University of Singapore. I'm your host, Nitya Subramanian, an editor at the Institute. The recently concluded US elections has been a tight one, with former Vice President and Democrat Joe Biden emerging winner. In another first, a woman who is of color and part Indian descent, Kamala Harris, is Vice President-elect. So what can South Asia expect from the newly elected president? To discuss more on the Biden presidency and South Asia, we have with us Professor C. Rajamohan, Director of ISAS. Thank you, Professor, for joining us today.
Great to be here, Anitya.
So let me start by asking you that this has been a very tight US election where Joe Biden emerged as a winner after 5 days since voting concluded. And President Trump has so far not yet conceded. His campaign team is plowing forward with legal action. The elections have also shown a high level of polarization of the country. What are some of your thoughts on these elections?
Yes, I think you mentioned polarization. It's been a pretty divided country. And the election has actually proven how deeply divided it is, because there were expectations, including some opinion polls, which seemed to suggest it'll be a slam dunk for the Democrats and the Republicans, and the president will be routed. Instead of that, what we've seen is the president has got almost 48% of the vote. And just as he won with a narrow margin in 2016, he's also losing by a narrow margin in this few battleground states. So it's doubly contested. I mean, both in terms of the narrowness of the margins in the specific states, and as well as the outcome, the consequences of that outcome. Now, I think President Trump has the option to contest. I mean, I think we remember back in 2000 when Al Gore, the Democrat, got more popular vote than George W. Bush. And there was a dispute over the result of one state, that was Florida. So the court case went, I mean, it went on right to the Supreme Court. In this case, I think Trump has got the right to raise questions and pursue his whatever legal options he has. Of course, that's not making him look gracious, but that is true. But I think legally speaking, I mean, I think he has the option to do it. But the fact is, I think looks like the case his lawyers have made so far, at least that's the reports we see, are not really credible, and it's unlikely to have a consequence in terms of the actual outcome. So therefore, my sense is it's a matter of time, because on December 14th, the Electoral College will meet and declare the winner. And after that, it's really curtains for President Trump.
Interesting. So we will have to wait till December to get the final outcome. But another first is the country electing a woman vice president who happens to be a person of color and of Indian descent. Do you think this would have the potential to change the Indian engagement with America, as well as the US's responses to issues in India? Also, what bearing would her being the vice president have on the Indian diaspora in the US, especially with regard to immigration and H-1B visas?
Look, I think it's a moment of pride, certainly for India. But look, the election was not about India. I think Kamala Harris is a politician. She's already been a senator for a long time. So therefore, we must treat her as an American politician, not as a, look, her Indian descent is of interest, is a matter for celebration to the Indian diaspora. As far as Delhi is concerned and the Indian state, Indian government is concerned, she's an American. And I don't think we should, confuse or conflate the two issues. That what it shows us is that, look, one, how well the Indian diaspora has done. So for the diaspora, which lives there, a lot of them are citizens and they vote. So for them, it is really a great advance in terms of their political profile in the United States. That doesn't automatically translate into specific gains for India. So I think that is separate. But the real significance about her victory is not about India or Indian diaspora. It is the fact that a woman has actually become the vice president. This has never happened before. And that itself, I think, makes Kamala Harris a historic personality in the history of the U.S. evolution. And the fact that Joe Biden is really getting on in years, that she's really a heartbeat away from the presidency, that could actually make her something happens to Biden, she could be the president. So I think the possibilities, for women in the U.S. who've been consistently denied their right, we saw what happened to Hillary Clinton and many times before, most of them would not even get a nomination, forget getting elected. So I think it's a great moment for women in the United States. Second, I think it's also that she's a person of color is equally important, but then we've had a person of color as president in before. So I would say it's really the most important aspect of success is that she's a woman and that she's on track. She could contest for presidency. Biden is a one-term president. So I think this really cracks the glass ceiling against women in the United States.
Moving on to the India-US relations. In recent years, there has been strengthening of ties between the two countries, and this was amply witnessed in the bonhomie between Trump and Prime Minister Modi. So now what lies ahead for the two countries?
No, I would say, look, if you look at the last nearly 40 years, the India-US relationship has consistently grown. Going back to Ronald Reagan, who was elected in 1980, became president in 1981. It's been a consistent improvement in the last 40 years. But of course, after the Cold War, which came to an end in 89, 91, then the pace of improvement further picked up under President Clinton. Then we saw President George Bush, W. Bush, and then we saw Obama and now Trump. So we've seen each one of them pushing the relationship further. And there is today much greater depth to the relationship in terms of trade, in terms of security cooperation, in terms of the whole range of things we do. I'm not even talking about the diaspora, which has really grown very significantly over the last four decades. So the relationship is in good shape. But if you read the Indian debate, of course, you have a sense that somehow, because Prime Minister Modi seen as so close to Trump, would it be a problem with President Biden? So I don't think this is about personalities. This is about personal preferences that Biden, in his outreach to the Indian community, has repeatedly said that he wants to consolidate and advance the relationship with India. And don't forget, he was the vice president under Obama. And that was a period when we saw the relationship grow. And before that, he was the chair of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and he contributed in a significant way to the advance of the India-US relationship. That doesn't mean there won't be any issues. Like Trump, we are significantly expanding cooperation, including in the security domain. But the trade disputes became very central to the relationship. Now, some of those issues are going to carry on in the Biden presidency, that the U.S. case for opening the Indian market has been an old one, and we must expect that President Biden will push that. Then India will have concerns whether Biden is going to warm up to China. Would that be a problem that Indians would worry about that? Meanwhile, Biden has talked about making climate change a big issue. So that is something that is the lab. Open up some space for India, but it'll also demand, for example, the Democrats are likely to demand that India stop using coal. Is that something India can do? So I think there will be new issues, but those issues are being dealt with in the context of a relationship that is stable, expanding, and there's far more dimensions to it today than before.
Also, just a few days, a few weeks before the elections, the U.S. Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, visited various countries in the subcontinent. And this has been viewed by many as an anti-China roadshow. How do you think the Biden administration will address the increased Chinese dominance in the subcontinent? And what will India's role be in the present geopolitical context as it pushes for a rules-based order under the Indo-Pacific construct?
Look, I think we've seen in the last 4 years the deterioration of the U.S.-China relationship. We've also seen a crisis-like situation in the India-China relationship. And that has provided a background in which India and the U.S. today are cooperating a lot more on security and defense, for example. Now, whatever position Biden takes on China, there are some uncertainties about it. But the fact is, it was Biden and Obama who talked about a pivot to Asia. In fact, many of the things we did under Trump were initiatives that actually started under Obama-Biden administration. So my sense is, while there will be change of style, change of issues vis-a-vis China, I don't see that undermining India-U.S. relationship, because there is an independent motor that is driving India-U.S. relationship. But on the security side, this surely they would be. The Democrats have never opposed India-U.S. defense cooperation. In fact, they wanted to do a lot more things. It was Delhi. It was the UPA government that did not want to do too many things with the Americans. But today we are in a new situation. So I don't think anyone in Delhi is losing sleep over how Biden might deal with China. And I think India will deal with the issues as they come. And I think there are a lot of areas. For example, Biden is talking about democracies getting together. He's talked about the allies working together to deal with China. But on trade, on climate change, on those kind of issues, I think India will have to show a lot more creativity in reducing the friction, likely friction with the U.S. Some of it already exists and some of it could get worse.
Also, another important issue in South Asia is the withdrawal of troops from Afghanistan. How do you think this will progress, and what role do you think Pakistan will play in this withdrawal? Do you think there will be a strengthening of U.S.-Pakistan relations? And if yes, would the U.S. need to balance its relationship with India, which is very critical to its response to China?
Look, I think the Pakistan issue is always of concern to India, but my sense is, India can't expect that the U.S. will not have any relationship with Pakistan. Even the Trump administration, where President Trump began by really threatening Pakistan. But in the end, he's also, he hosted Imran Khan, wanted to improve relationship. And as the U.S. looks at the situation in Afghanistan, they want to leave. I mean, it's not 20 years. And I don't think Biden is going to change that decision, saying, look, let's stay for a few more years and fight the Taliban. So I think the direction of American withdrawal is set, which means they will need some help, some cooperation from Pakistan. But my sense is, as the U.S. presence declines in Afghanistan, their dependence on Pakistan will also reduce. It's a big difference when U.S. had 140,000 troops in Afghanistan and all the supplies had to go through Pakistan. That was almost 10 years ago. But today, less troops means less dependence on Pakistan. And Pakistan's leverage in Washington has diminished because its economy is in a bad shape. It's unable to get American support to lift the terror-related sanctions. And meanwhile, Pakistan has also moved closer to the to China. So, and when U.S.-China relationship are in a complicated phase, that also reduces the enthusiasm for Pakistan in Washington. So, even if Biden reaches out to Pakistan, and I think India should expect that there will be engagement. And I think it's a good thing as well for India that there will be some engagement between Pakistan and the US, because it's good that the US continues to engage Pakistan on questions of terrorism, on the questions of regional concerns. I mean, what Pakistan does in Afghanistan and India. So I think India will expect some engagement will continue. But I think India should at least get over this complex that it is a zero-sum game between Pakistan and India. If Pakistan gains a little bit in Washington, India is going to lose. I think we are long past that situation, because the U.S. administrations, since George W. Bush, have what they call dehyphenated the relationship. That is, what Washington is doing today, it pursues simultaneously relationship with Delhi and Islamabad, with each on its own merit. So they're not going to do less with India because they are doing more with Pakistan. So the Pakistan-US relationship will move on its own steam. The India-US relationship will also move on its own steam. And the agenda between India and the US today is much bigger, much vaster than what exists between Pakistan and the US. And in the end, India's economy is nearly 10 times bigger than Pakistan. So I think it's no longer a mirror image or a symmetric relationship that used to be in the previous century.
And finally, the Biden administration is expected to take human rights violations quite seriously. So how do you think it will view the Kashmir issue and the human rights violations there?
No, this again, I think is a bit of a red herring. Because look, when did the US stop taking human rights seriously? I mean, the human rights are always talked about. But it is nobody's case that human rights are going to determine US policy to all its major partners. If that was the case, US and China would not be having a relationship. In fact, what is the signal coming out of US today? That they say, look, we have problems with China, China has competition, but we're not going to take Trump's approach of saying it is a fundamental conflict between Chinese Communist Party and the American democracy. So they're saying they want to engage China. So I think it's really being hyped up. There will be concerns in the Congress, just as there are concerns under any time. But when was it the last time that the human rights defined America's foreign policy to a major country? They will always be there. They form a small part of U.S. policy, but by no means that is going to be the defining aspect of the relationship with a large country like India. Same is true for example, with Pakistan. There are a whole lot of issues. The U.S. is not conditioning its relationship with Pakistan to the domestic politics of Pakistan or range of issues or with Sri Lanka, with a whole lot of countries. So they will raise some concerns across the region, but there is economic interest, there is security interest. So it's a combination of all these factors rather than just one factor that is going to define the U.S. relationship with India or South Asia under the Biden administration.
Thank you so much, Professor Rajamohan, for this insightful interview. And I'm sure it's going to be interesting times ahead for all of us watching South Asia and its interactions with the US. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
You were listening to South Asia Chat. To learn more about our work, visit us at isas.nus.edu.sg.